and the children are excused. I don't want to see any adults sneaking out to get first dibs on the turkey or the ham or the collard greens or all the good stuff that's out there. She's just going as backup. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is the time of year we start thinking about, but we think about it all year long, giving thanks unto the Lord. And in 2 Samuel 22, verses 47 through 50, 2 Samuel 42, 22, 47 through 50, it says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name." This morning, I want us to take a few moments to think about this holiday that's quickly approaching. I don't know where the month of November has gone. In October, I bought a birthday card for my son. I thought, well, it's the middle of November that he has a birthday. And on the 17th of November, the day after his birthday, he called me to tell me about his birthday party. I still had his card. I don't know what happened to this month. It just was gone. And I'm afraid next month's going to probably be worse. The conscientious child of God gives thanks many times a day. I hope that's the experience that you are having, that there are so many different times during the day where you thank God for what he's doing for you. Could be a little thing, but there is so many times that we have a chance to give him thanks and to bless him for what he's sending our way. You know, when God saves a soul, that soul instantly becomes grateful. If the soul does not become grateful, the soul probably did never get saved. Because that's something that the Holy Spirit gives us. He puts within our hearts a certain gratitude to God, first of all, for saving us, and for delivering us from the results of our sinful life. But there is a certain gratitude there that it should be there all the time. And we should just go through the day saying, "Thank you, Lord." We start in the morning when we put our feet on the floor. And thank you, Lord. And when we get in bed that night and get our head on the pillow, thank you, Lord. It's been a long day. It's been rough. But thank you, Lord, for bringing me back to this bed. The Holy Spirit brings a great change in attitude and philosophy once he permeates our heart. And what was taken for granted is suddenly a gift from our loving God. And for that, we become very grateful. There are scores of Bible verses that not only instruct us to give thanks, but provide examples of why we should give thanks and the power of God in our lives. There's one theme that is recorded in Scripture more than any other, and I want each of us to think about this, that we might be impressed of how important this is in our minds and in our hearts. Thankfulness must come from the heart. not from the brain. And every one of us, probably everyone sitting in this room, if you're over 12 years old, have known of times when somebody has said thank you to you and not meant it. It was just a formality. And that's not the way the Christian is supposed to be. The Christian is supposed to be genuinely grateful for what God is doing in their lives. Someone may give you a gift. That's coming from God. Yes, gifts come from people, but God moves their hearts to give that gift. And so everything that you and I have, everything that we have received, has come from God. And for that, we should be thankful. I just am amazed at how many chances we have to say, thank you, Lord. And I just pray your days are filled with those things, because you will be blessed if they are. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This verse appears 8 different times in the various Psalms, this phrase. We find it in Psalm 106:1, 107:1, 118:1, 118:29, and in Psalm 136:1. And the next few verses in Psalm 136, we find just a little variety on the same command. Giving thanks to the Lord should be a special time for each of us in his presence. Things don't just happen, folks. God is right there, blessing us all along. I want us to look at Psalm 136. Turn there, if you will. And it will show us some of the things. The Psalms are full of thanks. They're full of gratitude. But Psalm 136 is sort of special. And that's why I want us to look at that this morning, to see the different kinds of things that we're to express gratitude for. This psalm could be called the Psalm of Creation and History. One thing that this psalm is that each verse ends with the same thought. For his mercy endureth forever. And you think about that as we go through this psalm. Psalm 136. There's 26 verses, and I want us to look at each one of them. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which and made Israel to pass through the midst in the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Folks, we're here at the mercy of God, and it lasts forever. It's never going to end. Let me ask each of you personally a question. Don't be too quick to answer. Even if the answer seems to be evident to you, take a minute to think about it. Can a believer thank God too much? Can a believer thank God too much? Having spent some time thinking about it, I don't think that anybody could ever thank God too much. Only the wretched soul would be ungrateful to God. And even that can be changed by, in a minute of prayer, calling out for salvation. And most of us sitting here this morning have done that. And it changed our lives, folks. Let's look at a few more scriptures that deal with thanking God, since this is the season for it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. This verse was written by Paul, says an awful lot about how you and I live our lives. I find it easy to give thanks when God permits me to do something that would be considered successful in my daily activities. Do you give God thanks when you do something that's successful in your daily activities? Of course you do. I probably thank God dozens of times every day. As you get older, you find out there's a lot more you used to do that you can't do. Without God's help, and with his help, you can do it. What about the times when we fail? You thank God for those? What did 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say? In everything, give God. When you hit the wrong nail with a hammer, praise the Lord. When you drop that heavy object on your foot, frozen turkey or whatever it is, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that happened. What about the times when things don't go quite right? I thank God for all the bumps on the road, folks. They're there for a reason. He's giving us an education. He is molding us into the Son that he sent to die for our sin. He's molding us to be like Jesus Christ. And some of us take some real molding. And there are tough times. But what we just read the 136th Psalm, and how did each verse end? But his mercy endureth forever. Keep that in your mind. Everything he brings into your life is brought into your life by his mercy. Everything. Most of us don't like pain. Do we thank God for pain? I cut my arm on a nail while we were working on tearing out the baptistry. And I don't remember exactly what I said when I did or what I thought when I did that. But I don't think it was praise the Lord. And sometimes we forget to thank God in everything. When the Lord brings difficulties into our lives, and he does bring the difficulties into our lives, they are not without purpose. Folks, don't ever think that he has just done that to be mean. God is not mean. God loves you. And God, whatever God permits to come into your life is for your benefit. It is. When we get bad news, sometimes we don't look at it quite properly. Do we thank the Lord? Lord, thank you. That could be worse. Some of us, that's what we think. We're not really thanking him for it, but we'll put up with it because it could be worse. But everything, thanking the Lord. The verse in Thessalonians tells us to give thanks in everything, because that's the will of the Lord. Now, everything, by the way, does mean everything. Even the what we call the bad things. How can we thank God for what we call bad or painful experiences? We probably all remember when we got news that was going to change our lives. How did we react to that? Especially if it was going to change our circumstance permanently. God does love us. In spite of what he brings into our lives. And his mercy endureth forever. As I think back in my own life, and you can do the same, I'm sure, when you got bad news or something that was going to change your future, God did that in mercy. And his mercy did endure forever, and it does. I remember, I can prove it. I remember the day that Connie and I sat in her doctor's office down at MUSC and were told that she had pancreatic cancer and would probably live a year. I remember that. She lived 3.5 years. The mercy of God lives forever. Jimmy Hucks and I encourage each other with Romans 8:28. If you haven't memorized that verse, you better. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't say everything's good, but it works together for good because his mercy endureth forever. Now, some of us, probably in the next hour, are going to overeat. And we're going to go home, we're going to feel like we're about to die. But remember, his mercy endureth forever. God is not going to tempt you above what you are able. That doesn't say you won't tempt you, but God's not going to tempt you, okay? Having gone through the pain and the loss, if I look at things from the standpoint of all the blessings that God has squeezed in between the painful spots, I can thank him for the blessings. And between all the painful spots in your life, he has put in a blessing. He has. Even the painful spots were opportunities. Opportunities to serve and to minister to the person that God lets you love. I can thank him for those times. You can thank him for those times. Did God show mercy? Yes. His mercy endureth forever. I would like for us to change the direction of our thoughts right now. A few minutes ago, we read the 136th Psalm. It gave a basic history of the creation and of Israel's relationship with God, who chose them to be his people. Each verse ended with the phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever." Now, think about your life. Has God taken care of you? Is he going to take care of you tomorrow? You don't know all the things that go on in our church offices. We get a lot of phone calls asking for help here and help there. And recently I've had people pleading with me for particular help. Usually it's financial. Recently I had someone come in and plead for help, telling me that they tomorrow, Monday, they will be homeless. Now, what do you do in a case like that? There's only so much help we can give. Would God ever want someone to be homeless? There's homeless people all over the city. Could God ever want that? You know, we don't think like God, folks. I came close to being homeless when the trailer started leaking and they took it away. I still had access to my apartment and I could sleep on the couch. But that was as close to homeless as I want to get. And yet, God uses that. Does the Bible lie? No. I hope you don't think that it does. When the Bible says his mercy endureth forever, it does. But, and there's that little three-letter word, but it's for his children that his mercy endureth forever. Well, he's merciful to the rest of the world, but for his children, his mercy endureth forever. They see his mercy. They do. We do. A lot of the homeless people out there don't see that because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I had a college fraternity call me this week. They were debating the Bible. I wasted an hour and a half on the phone. I say wasted because I was trying to convince them that the only thing that mattered out of God's word was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, but you see, they were having a debate. There's two things you don't do. You don't argue the Bible, and you don't debate the Bible. Because either one means that you don't believe the Bible. Now, I asked a question a minute ago. Is God taking care of you? Yes, he has. No matter what your circumstances might be, God has taken care of you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know him, he is taking care of you anyway. But he's trying to bring you to the point where you will believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He will bring things into your life that are disconcerting. He will bring things into your life that are a problem, that you don't know how you're going to get out of this situation. But God is doing that so that you will turn the one place you have to turn to him. Think of the people that I mentioned a minute or two ago, the homeless people here in this area. How can they fix their situation? Where do they start? They have to start with him. They have to be willing to go with him. God has put them at the bottom of the barrel so that the only way they can look is up. And that's where he has to take some of us, to be like Jesus Christ, to see what we're doing is not working. And we don't depend upon ourselves. We begin looking to him and letting him take care of us and letting him provide for us. His mercy endureth forever. Those words were not just written in the 136th Psalm to fill space. Those were written in the 136th Psalm so that you and I could experience it. and live with it. Acts 2, Bobby's been teaching Acts in Sunday school. Acts 2:21 is a sweet verse. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And his mercy endureth forever." Just to be sure that you understand what he promised, we read this statement by God in Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever. The homeless. The guy standing out there in the intersection with his cardboard sign. They have to call on the name of the Lord. We are not the solution. God is. Is that statement true? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord? I hope it is, because I called. You called. Did it make a difference? God is faithful. His mercy endureth forever. Has God ever failed to save anyone who called on his name? We've got a song we sing, "No, Not One." He's faithful. He said he would, and he does. If you're here this morning and you've never called on the Lord God to save you, this morning would be a good time to do it. In fact, there couldn't be a better time. Because when we call, he responds, he answers. Why would a person choose to go to hell for the rest of eternity? We don't usually give each other the opportunity to brag on what God has done for us. But I think this morning could be a good time. We know he saves us. And that's good. But I'm going to ask you, what else has he done for you? Care to share? He hasn't done anything? Yes, go ahead.
They were up here, her poor daughter. But, yeah, it's a big box.
His mercy endureth forever. Tim? Yes, Shirley. Yeah. 2 hours ago, I didn't know if I would be here. I got up at 2 o'clock this morning and came over and fixed a turkey. And I've been here ever since 2 o'clock this morning, making sure everything was ready and right. And 2 hours ago, I decided that's my last turkey I'm going to cook for you folks. I'm getting too old for this. But God's mercy endureth forever. Yes, I'm so grateful that God has put us all together as a church family. I love every one of you guys. If there's anything I can do, I'll do it. And you love me so well. There have been so many expressions of love since Connie's homegoing. Keep me going. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Melissa. Amen. Okay, Linda. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. One more and we're running out of time. We'll have to close. Okay, Michael.
I always say when people ask me how the day is going, if my wife didn't have to call and I'm going to be out of bed,
once. But I thank God for silly things like running water and just the mundane things in your life that we still frequently take for granted. And we've been in foreign countries. Well, what we take for granted here doesn't exist. Those real floors are not here.
I think as you were talking about homes with dirt floors, I'm grateful that I have an alarm clock that I don't have to feed hay to. Because when we were in San Rafael, Haiti, town gets up by a donkey. He brays, and the priest at the Catholic Church rings the bell, and everybody comes up. But there, the homes have dirt floors too. So, yes, we have a lot to be grateful for. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll have our final song, our final hymn. Father, you love us so well. We owe you thanks, Father, for everything you do for us, because everything you do is done in love, and everything you do is for our benefit. Thank you for each one that you have brought out this morning. May we all rejoice together when this service comes to an end. May your will be done in each one of our lives. May we reach out and we be able to reach out to others and share with them that your mercy endureth forever. And Father, may we that be the experience of our life. And we will praise you, we will thank you for all that you do. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. And if there is anyone here who does not know him as our personal Savior, may they come to know him very soon, if not today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.